Tonight we're picking up on part 24. This is still chapter 8 of Proverbs. Hopefully I'll finish up this chapter tonight, but there's some things that God really wants me to get across to you guys tonight, and I may focus on that. But just to kind of reiterate, go over again what we've been learning out of chapter 8. It deals predominantly with the value of listening to wisdom. Wisdom gives prudence to the simple and understanding, and an understanding heart to fools. We've covered that so far. Wisdom only speaks excellent, right things. Her words are with righteousness. Wisdom dwells with prudence, knowledge, and discretion. By wisdom, you become strong and able to gain dominion. This is really a powerful one if you guys meditate on it. And then wisdom causes those that love her to inherit wealth. Wisdom has been established since the very beginning. In other words, and this seems like almost kind of, out of what Proverbs 8 talks about, but I think it's important that, when we're starting something in our lives, we need to establish the wisdom of it at the very beginning. Amen. So I want you to think about it on that level. And I'm going to start doing this as we go through this. I'm going to start kind of pulling some things out and helping you guys utilize them a little bit more effectively. So wisdom has been established since the very beginning, which implies that as God took hold of wisdom at the very beginning of everything he did in creating the heavens and the earth and creating man and everything, that we need to think in terms like that also, that we need to gain that wisdom. We need to get a hold of wisdom from the beginning, whenever we're starting something. And then wisdom is a master craftsman that helped God when he made the earth. And this one here is really important, because tonight what I'm going to do is, this is where we finished off last week, Proverbs 8, 27 through 31. It says, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. And when he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea to the sea its limits so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now, I'm going to pick up, and we're going to come back to this. I went through this and talked about it in relationship to what God did when he first created the heavens and the earth. All right, but I'm going to go back into this, and we're going to pick up on this. We're going to talk about wisdom, seven things that we can immediately learn from wisdom. And this is the way wisdom works. This is what wisdom does. And if you'll take some time to just hear this and just write these things down, as you do so, I think you're going to get how wisdom works. Because this is what it's getting at. When I looked at this in Proverbs 8, 27 through 31, and I'm only going to cover 27 through 30. All right, so in talking about this, these seven things we can immediately learn from wisdom. It's kind of a lame way to say that, but what I want you to get as I talk about these things is, this is what wisdom does. This is what wisdom goes about doing in any aspect of that, what it's a part of. Now, remember, God brought wisdom forth at the very beginning, and wisdom was beside him as a master craftsman. And you got to remember that. And as a master craftsman, this is what wisdom led God to do. This is what wisdom, in a sense, instructed God to do. So even though God did these things, wisdom was with him when he did these things. And wisdom, would be there to kind of like be the sounding board, the bouncing board that God would use as he started doing things, as he started thinking things through. Wisdom became that sounding board. And in our lives, people, if we want to really establish our lives, this is where wisdom steps up. This is what wisdom is going to help us do. And this affects all areas of our lives. And as you'll see, this is something that you can take any of these things and put them to work. And probably some of these things need to be working in your life right now, whether it's what you're doing at work, it's whether what you're doing at home, socially, spiritually, whatever, if you're embarking on something new, if God's leading you into to doing some kind of calling. I mean, I didn't know these things. And so as a result, I'm telling you from a position that's finally understood this, and it's coming back to you now, okay, so that you can take advantage of this now. And especially if you're younger, this is something that you would really want to take advantage of. Amen. So number one, these are the things that I'm going to pull out. There's seven things I'm going to pull out of here. Number one, wisdom prepares. All right. The word prepare there, remember, is the word kun. It means to set up, whether literally to establish, fix, prepare, or apply, or figuratively to appoint, render, or render sure. Okay. I want to take the more literal side of this. If you're gonna step out into something, wisdom is gonna show you to prepare. Now, there's been a lot of things going on in the world, and we need to be prepared for that. Wisdom prepares. And so, you know, you need to ask yourself, how can I be prepared for these things? Or if you're starting to do something at work, how can I prepare for this? Or if you want to get somewhere, how can I prepare for this? Like if you want to improve in the sense of, you know, going up and being promoted at work, it might require you preparing the stage for that, preparing for it. Okay. Wisdom prepares. And what I want you to do is I want you to focus on these nouns even more than how God used this. I want you to focus on these nouns for yourself. Okay. Wisdom prepares. That's number one. So in just kind of giving you a simple explanation of that, wisdom sets up, wisdom establishes, wisdom fixes, wisdom prepares. All right. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom does these things that preparation does. All right. And this is critical for us. All right. So just think about this. Number two, wisdom sets boundaries. Now, this is taken out of that part where it says when he drew a circle on the face of the deep. The word drew there is the word kakak there, and it means to prescribe. The word circle there is the word kug. And in the Greek, Brown Drivers Briggs defines it predominantly as a compass. Now, it can also be a circle or it could be a circuit of something, all right? You know, revolving around something. But when I looked up the word compass, I was shocked because you got to remember these guys used Old English words. And the word compass doesn't just mean compass as in what's north, south, you know, something that measures northeast, west, south, or whatever, you know, the compass of the earth. Compass carries with it a different meaning, which is the range or scope of something. And when I looked that up, it blew my mind because what it's saying here is that it prescribes the range or scope of something. All right. And that's what wisdom does. It sets the scope of something. In other words, what are you shooting for? What are you striving to establish? What are you trying to do? So wisdom sets that as a boundary. Now, I also want to add to this whole concept of how far you're going to go with something. How far do I go with something? All right. Because you got to understand the guy that was given one talent, the guy that was given three talents, the guy that was given five talents, there were different expectations on these guys because God gave to them those talents according to their individual abilities. And so for us, we have to have a really clear understanding of what our limitations are, you know, what we're capable of, what our abilities are. And if something is going to take us outside of our abilities, then we might need to limit the range or scope of it so that it doesn't get beyond what we're capable of handling. All right. And so the one guy that only had one talent, his problem was he didn't have much ability, but he was probably not really interested in doing anything with that talent. And so it was something he'd rather go do his own thing. And so he took that talent, buried it, never did anything with it. That's the worst thing you can do with what God gives you, all right, is bury it, not do anything with it, okay? You need to do something with it. And as the husbandman came back, as the master came back, he told him, he goes, you could have at least given it to the bankers so that I could at least gotten interest on it when I came back. So do something that is even, in a minimal sense, at least you're accomplishing something. So having no scope is bad news. Having a scope of what you want to accomplish that goes beyond your ability may be problematic, all right? So in wisdom, you got to set the scope of something. Now, can that scope change? We'll find out as we go along. But I'm telling you, that scope can change if your ability increases. That's what you got to understand. That scope can increase if your ability increases. But if your ability only goes so far, and that's something that God has set, then you got to stay within the scope of what wisdom tells you to do, you know, as far as the boundary of how far you need to go with something. Amen? Now, so that was number two. Wisdom sets boundaries. It spies out the scope of, so how far am I going to go with something? One of the things that we do when I'm at work, and just to give you more insight into this whole thing of what scope means, is one of the things that we do when we're getting ready to make changes to the website, we go to our IT people, we design out something, but we go to our IT people, we meet with them, and one of the first things that they'll ask us is, what is the scope of this? What are you trying to accomplish with this? How far are you going to go with this? What are you trying to do? And in some ways, they have to ask that because we're working with platforms that have limitations to them. Or we're working with something that if we're asking for one thing and it's going to require a lift, we call it a lift, an amount of work that goes beyond what they have time to do or even maybe know how to do, then that limits, that puts a limit on what they can do for us. So we call it a scope. And that's when we're getting ready and we're preparing a project to get it done. One of the things that we spend time doing is scoping the project. We spend time scoping the project, finding out where we're going to go with it, how far we can go with it. And in the process of that, we learn sometimes, okay, we can't do this, we can't do that, because those are limitations. And so we begin to narrow the scope down to what we can actually get done. And that's what you need to do, is that you can start off trying to scope something out to find the range of how far you can go with something. But as you go along and you think about it and you assess things, you begin to understand, you know what, this is as far as I can go. Jesus brings this out very clearly when he talks about, you know, his wisdom. He says, you know, when does one king of one country try to go, you know, against another king, that if he has 10,000 soldiers, does he try to go against another king that has 20,000? If he can't do it, if he doesn't have the ability, the range of it, then he sends people out to try and, you know, find terms for peace, okay? Does a man sit down to build a tower, you know, and if he sits down to build the tower, you know, he's got to make sure he finishes. So the scope of that tower has got to be within his means of getting it done. Otherwise, if he doesn't finish, then people make fun of him. You know, they mock him because he went so far, but he couldn't finish, all right? And we need to do that with our lives. What's the scope of our lives? What are our lives going to count for something or count for in this earth, you know? And I'm going to tell you something right now. Do you think that just living day by day and enjoying life as you go along, you're not going to feel that way when you get to heaven? When you get to heaven, you're going to, if your life didn't count for anything for the kingdom of God, when you get to heaven, you're going to regret that with all your heart. You're going to weep and wail because you didn't use your life in a way that counted for the kingdom of God. So we all need to have some scope of life that we're doing that counts for God, just in that sense, all right? It doesn't have to be a lot. You don't have to try and go into full-time ministry if you're not called to it, but you do have to find out where you fit. And you know, those are the things that give you the ability to make things count, and you can set your scope, how far you want to go with it. That's what wisdom does. All right. So, you know, wisdom spends the time preparing. Now listen to this. Preparing is first. Why? Because part of your preparation is you figure out what you're working with. You know, you take time to figure out what you're working with. What kind of skills do you have? How far can you go with something? And then from that, you know, that's part of your preparation process. Then part of that is going through that, setting the boundaries, you know, finding out what the scope of what you're trying to accomplish is. Okay, and when you stay within that, you're going to live very happy. When you take the time to figure that out and then stay within it, you're going to have a very blessed, fruitful life for God. You're going to produce fruit in your life, not just for God, but for your family, for yourself, and so on. But you're also going to be very happy because you're not struggling along trying to carry something out that is outside your ability or outside your scope of getting it done. All right. Now, the third thing that we can learn from wisdom and how wisdom works is that wisdom establishes. Now, the word establishes there is the word amatz, and it means Brown Drivers Briggs. I like his their definition better. And Peel is one of the Hebrew theologians from the Old Testament, and Peel defines that word as to secure for oneself predominantly, or to make firm. Now, it also carries other meanings, you know, to establish, to secure, to make firm, do all these other things. But I really wanted to pull this out, is that wisdom establishes. It secures what's needed, all right? You know, what you need to go forth, to fulfill the scope of what you've set for yourself, okay? It goes after securing those things. That's what establishes means here. That wisdom goes forth and begins to secure for itself what it needs. And so my explanation sentence there below establishes is that wisdom secures and makes firm for itself. In other words, it finds out, you know, it goes and gets its resources, it gets its, you know, whatever it needs to accomplish something. And as it does that, it gets to work doing that. Secure the things that are needed. Now, part of that securing goes back to your preparation, and part of it becomes part of your scope. And as you prepare, one of the things you're going to find out is that I need to go and look at what am I working with? What can I get? You know, what can I use? What resources do I have available to me, for me, that I can use to accomplish the scope of what I'm going after? And so that's part of what wisdom does. Once wisdom knows those things, it gets to work securing it. It starts securing what it needs to get done. Amen. Number four. So, you know, you've got the wisdom of something. When you're accomplishing the wisdom of something, one of its actions is to secure the resources necessary, secure the help necessary. All right. For example, when we were getting ready to move, there were some things we needed to do. We needed to get boxes. We needed to get bags. We needed to get different kinds of things to help us, you know, pack things as we were getting ready to move. Then I had to secure the resources of a moving company in order for them to come in and move us, all right? Then we had to, when we were cleaning up, we had to secure, carpet cleaner to come in and clean the carpet after we got done. You know, there were things that had to be secured, that had to be done. And we had so many things that we were going to toss away that I had the finances to do it, but I had to secure a dumpster in order to throw stuff away in. And it was, I mean, it was a good sized dumpster, and we filled it up. We filled that dumpster up. And it was costly, but it was worth it because it saved so much time. And so, you know, that's what it means. You know, when you find that you have a need for something, wisdom goes out and secures it, goes and gets it for itself. All right. And so those are the kinds of things that I'm talking about. You know, I hope that's clear. So number four, wisdom strengthens. All right. So wisdom strengthens. Now, once you go through the process of securing the things that you need for yourself, some of that might be help. Like we had to secure help. Brian helped us as well. We secured his help. He ended up quitting work a little bit early, you know, so that he could actually help us in the move. And so that was part of us securing help, okay, for us, so we could get moved. And he wanted to do it, and he was willing to do it, and God blessed him, and God will bless him for it. But so when you're doing that, then what you got to do, wisdom, the next step that wisdom does, this is something that wisdom does. Now, these don't have to be in order, okay? You'll see that some of it looks like it can follow in order, but some of these you can pull this out and say, you know what, I'm not doing this. I need to go do this. Like, I'm not as prepared as I thought I was. I got to go back and prepare some things. Or I haven't marked out the scope of this fully, of what I'm trying to accomplish here. I need to sit down and think this through and figure out how far am I going with this? What all is it going to require? You know, what am I going to need to get this done or to bring this to pass? You know, or you may have to pull it out and start establishing, go out and secure some help for yourself. Amen. And that's, you know, that's the way it is. For example, if God's leading you to bless somebody with something, you know, and so what you have to do is you have to go and secure, maybe you have to go secure help to get that done. All right. And, you know, you might be giving somebody a sofa and you need, they don't have the wherewithal to help you take the sofa. You might have to go out and secure somebody to help you, to get that help for yourself, to take that sofa over there, whatever it is. Amen. Whatever it is. So, but these things can be pulled out and separated. And I want you to look at these almost disjointedly in some cases, but also start thinking in terms of how they all flow together in some way, all right? Because, you know, you may have gotten very far. You may have secured things, and now it's time to strengthen, or maybe it's time to assign or whatever. So we'll pick up on number four, and we'll get with it. You know, you'll begin to see where I'm going with it. Now, number four, wisdom strengthens. The word strengthens there is the word asaz, and it means, Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to be strong, to make firm, to strengthen, okay? Now, strengthen can be multiple different things. I mean, if you're getting ready to, let's say you're preparing to run a I don't know what you call
marathon.
It, a marathon, but maybe a short one, maybe the 10K or something like that. And you know, you're getting ready. Part of your preparation is you're going to have to get strong. You're going to have to build up your endurance so that you can run the race. So, you know, if you're going to run that race, you need to go out and you need to start running maybe a couple of miles, 3 miles a day or something like that, you know, 2 miles a day. And then on a weekend, do 4 or 5 miles and just run that 4 or 5 miles. And then take a day off after that and then pick it up again and start, you know, making yourself stronger, okay? So the word means to be strong, to be strong or to make firm or to strengthen. The other thing is that, you know, you may need to strengthen your bonds with those that you're working with, you know, like at work. You know, sometimes there are times when I haven't talked to somebody in a long time and that person is part of the work that I do. Sometimes you may want to take time to have lunch with them or something and spend some time with them, all right, to see where they're at and see how they're doing, to strengthen that bond. I mean, I do that with we set it up. It's something that we set up and it's required. We call them one-on-ones. And with my manager, I have a one-on-one that's weekly, and we take time, you know, we spend time a half hour just on a weekly basis. We get together and we just go over what's all going on, you know, and if there's any issues or if there's any problems. And what that does is that strengthens our relationship. They know what I'm doing. I know what they're doing, because it's not always just about me reporting up what I'm doing and what I'm getting done. They spend time telling me what they're doing and where they're at on things, and because they may need my help. I mean, my boss is taking off for a few days, and if something comes up, somebody's going to call on me to help them out, and I got to be ready to do that. So having that bond, knowing where, you know, strengthening that relationship, knowing where we're at is going to do that. Strengthen can be other ways too. I mean, when you're building something, how strong does it need to be? You know, I mean, when, let's say you're building a house, you know, you can't build a house without it being strong enough to withstand earthquakes, you know, a tornado maybe. Well, no house will withstand a tornado pretty much. But, you know, an earthquake, you know, it'll withstand rain, hard rain, high winds, stuff like that. It's got to have a certain amount of strength to it so that it can withstand these things. And think about your business that way. Think about the things that you're doing. You know, what does it need? What needs to be done to strengthen it so that it endures, so that it can last, you know, through the trials, you know, through things that are, you know, that'll happen, through problems and so on. Think about yourself for a second. You know, what if a trial comes at you? Are you strong enough to handle that trial? You know, or are you always dependent upon running to somebody else to get them to help you with your trials? And if we would spend the time to strengthen ourselves, we would be much stronger in a trial, and it would get to the point where we wouldn't even really need people, you know, to come pray for us, to bail us out spiritually. We could do our own and be totally fine, and then get to the point where we're helping other people, you know, with what's going on in their lives to help them out. Amen. So sometimes that strengthening isn't physical. Sometimes it's soulish. I mean, how strong are you mentally? You know, how strong are you physically? How strong are you spiritually? How strong are you in love? How strong are you in faith? How strong are you in kindness or in peace? Strengthen these things. Strengthen your character. Strengthen your skills. You know, make what you're capable of doing stronger, more, you know, more firm, more established, if you want to put it that way. So that, you know, that when comes time, it's right there. You're totally able to handle what comes along. Amen. That's that strength. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That strength goes all over the place. I remember, you don't know how many times, I mean, even now when we were moving, there were times when it's like, man, Lord, I thank you for your strength, you know, and you just keep going, you know, you just, and God's strength comes along and helps you out and covers you. All right. And so that's what wisdom does. Wisdom is constantly strengthening things, you know, as it goes along. It makes things stronger, more firm, more established, you know, that it's, you know, it's firm that way. All right. Number five, wisdom assigns. You know, now assigned, you know, up there where it says he assigned to the sea its limit. You know, there was something I missed on this. When it strengthened, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, I think that word, let me come back up here for a minute and see if I have it up here. Oh, I don't have it up here. I think the word fountains of the deep might have been foundations of the deep, but I don't remember now whether that's true or not. Oh, no, it's foundations is over here. Okay, so he strengthened the fountains of the deep. Wow, that's pretty cool. Anyway, you know, and think about that. What's your fountain? You know, what's the thing that's coming out of you? It's your energy. It's your strength. It's your wisdom. It's your skill. It's your knowledge. You know, it's your character. You know, it's your ability, your raw ability. What kind of power are you walking in? What kind of, you know, skill sets are you walking in and so on? Amen. You got to constantly be strengthening these things. I'm doing it all the time. I find myself strengthening everything I have as a skill set. I find times when I'm strengthening that skill set. As a matter of fact, it's, you know, I haven't really done any instruction when it comes to HTML and stuff like that for the website. And I know that it's time to do a refresh on the website. It's working fine, but you know, it's just old. It's time to make changes on it and to do some good things with it. And before I do that, I'm going to strengthen my knowledge, you know, because it's been 4 or 5 years and there's things that have changed out there in the industry and in the development side of this. And so I'm going to go back and I'm going to spend some time getting a hold of that and strengthening my knowledge, strengthening my skills as far as doing front end development. And so I'll do that. All right. And it'll be fun. It won't take me very long, but it'll be something that I look at that as important. That's part of my preparation to doing it, is go out there and strengthen my skills, my knowledge of it. All right. And then coming back to assigns, that word assigned there is the word sum in the Hebrew. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as ordains, establishes, appoints, and determines. All right. And I'm gonna kind of talk around this a little bit because I see what it means. I see it visually what it means, but it might be a little bit hard to explain, and hopefully I can get it across to you guys. But the word limit there is the word koch, and it means an enactment, hence an appointment of time, space, quantity, labor, or usage. All right. And so it says, you know, it says in verse 29, when he assigned to the sea its limit, you know, you could look at it as far as the border of the sea, you know, that because of the rise and the fall of the tide, that he assigned how far that would go up and down, and how much, because of that, how much it would come in and go out, you know, as far as the tide coming in, the tide going out. So we can assume that's what he means. But when you really think about it, he's ordained something. He set something in motion, and that's what he's established. In other words, he's set the tidal forces on the ocean. He's established that. He's determined it and appointed it, and it can't change. It won't change. Gravity's not going to change. The pull of the moon is not going to change without some kind of external force acting on the moon, but it won't change. It'll continue to be the same. You know, it's way beyond our lives, that's for sure. Now, what happens is that when you're operating in wisdom, there's a need to sometimes look at things and appoint what that is. You know, I want to appoint this for that. In other words, you might have in your house, you might have an extra room that you can appoint for, let's say, a TV room or a family room. And you appoint that, you know, you guys can eat snacks there. You can go up there and you can watch TV and watch movies and do all of that kind of stuff. But then you might have a living room and that's, you know, you don't appoint that for doing the family stuff. That's not appointed for sitting there watching TV, eating snacks and making a mess on it. You know, that's something that's appointed for entertaining guests, you know, and people that come over where you can gather together and sit and talk. I mean, we've had many people over to our house. I don't remember very few people ever actually made it up to our family room. Not because we didn't want them there. It wasn't what we were doing. But our family room was for us. It was for us to go in and we could just relax and be ourselves and not worry about whether or not, you know, we were messing up the sofa or, you know, or doing whatever. And you can appoint things that way, you know, and think about that in different areas of your life, you know. And so when you look at the word limit, it actually means an enactment. In other words, you appoint certain things to do things for what you're going to do with that, you know. And so the word literally means an appointment, you know, and it means an enactment. In other words, when God established the limit to the sea, when he assigned the limit to the sea, he appointed that it's only going to do certain things. The ocean, now the ocean does so much more. 70% of our oxygen comes from the ocean, all right? People maybe don't know this, but 70% of our oxygen. So God appointed the ocean to produce through plankton and all the other things that goes on in the ocean to produce the amount of oxygen needed for our planet to continue to be livable, okay, for us to live and thrive on this planet, amen. And so he assigned that to the ocean. He assigned, you know, the tidal force on the ocean does a lot of things. You know, it does more than just cause the tide to go in and come back out. All right, there's that influence keeps the ocean very active. It doesn't allow the water to become stagnant. It forces a movement in the water. All right. So there's other things that these things are appointed for. So when you're looking at something you're starting to do, look at the things, all the different pieces to it, and understand what they're appointed for, what they're really going to be used for. Amen. I the easiest way to describe this is with tools. All right. I have a screw gun that's a cordless screw gun. If I'm going to be doing a lot of drilling, where I'm going to use, you know, be drilling, you know, like making holes and stuff like that, I would never use my cordless gun to do that. If it was a couple of them, I'll use it. But if it's going to be all day long, then I run a cord and I use my powered drill motor. And I use that to do the drilling because I don't have to worry about charging batteries every 5 seconds. All right. And so I appoint that for that usage. I have a hammer. I actually have multiple kinds of hammers. I have a hammer that's a bigger finish hammer. And I've appointed that for certain types of things like, you know, nailing in stops for wood windows and so on because it wouldn't scar up the wood. But I also have a framing hammer. I have a framing hammer that has a waffle edge on it. You don't ever want to get hit with that because it'll just rip your skin. But I use that for driving nails, doing a lot of nail driving, big nails like 16 penny, you know. And it's a heavier hammer and I use that for beating things around and that's what I use it for. But that's what, you know, wisdom appoints things. You know, you gotta know what you're doing with all the resources that you've got together. Now, like finances, for example, I have finances that I have appointed for something, and I'm not touching those finances because they're appointed for something. I have other finances that's appointed for, you know, paying bills and paying off debt and so on. And even, you know, like if you look at budgeting your finances, for example, they say that there's a good chunk, a chunk or amount of your finances that should be going to you socializing and going out and having fun, you know, spending it for enjoyment. That should be appointed. You should know what your amount, how much your finances, you know, how much of your finances should be appointed for, you know, having fun and going out and enjoying, you know, time with your family, eating out or whatever. All right. You need to know what your budget is for paying on your bills. You need to know what your budget is for paying off your debt. You know, you need to know what your budget is for things that come up on a yearly basis to make sure that, you know, that you have money set aside for that. That money is appointed for those things. And when you start understanding how that concept of assigning is, you know, then what you do is that you begin to work within the context of how you've assigned things and what they're to be used for and what how they're to function. All right. And so it makes life a lot easier when you start doing that. Amen. So that's number five. So number six, wisdom marks out. And this word marks out is a little bit different than assigns, because assigns can mean appoints, but it means a little bit more than that. If you look at the scripture up here, it says in verse 29, when he assigned the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. Okay, so he did, there's two things, and those words are going to seem like they sound alike, but they're really not. When he assigned the sea its limits, he's talking about the function of it, how it's, you know, how it's enacted, you know, what it's, you know, how it's being used or how it's going to perform, all right? When he talks about marking out, that's something different. You know, wisdom marks out. Now, King James Version actually uses the word appoints, but I don't like that as much. The word marked out is the same word as the word drew up there in number two. You know, he marks out. It's the word kakak, and it means to enact, you know, generally to prescribe. Now, what he's prescribing here are foundations, you know, and foundations here, you know, in this case, literally means a foundation. The Hebrew word mosada, it means a foundation. All right. Now, wisdom enacts or prescribes what will be the foundation. So when wisdom marks out, he's laying his foundation. Now, when you go to build a house, you don't build the house and then go try and find a foundation. You lay the foundation first. You find out how, you know, you scope out the house. You understand how many rooms you're going to have, what the rooms are going to look like, where all the walls are going to be and so forth. And then you outline the foundation for that and you begin to set the foundation. You prescribe the foundation. Now, that's for building a house. When you're marking out a foundation for your life, what's the foundation? What are the guiding principles or the pillars, the things that are going to be foundational to your life? How is your life going to function? How is it going to be built? Now, understand something. What we've missed, myself included, what we have missed all this time, and I'm 69 years old and I'm barely understanding this, is that everything is built. And you're going to see this in the next chapter. Everything is built. Your life is built. Now, whatever. Now, and Jesus makes this statement. He says that the wise man hears the word of God, and it's like digging deep and putting the foundation on a rock and then building the house on that. And that house represents the life of that man. So that when the storm comes and the waters beat against it and the wind slams against it, that house stands firm. But the foolish man who didn't hear the word, didn't dig down and find the rock, and didn't lay the foundation on the rock, built his house on sand. And you can lay what looks like, you can lay what looks like a foundation on sand, and it will do no good. I remember one time I was a glazer by trade for like 25 years back in the 80s. I started learning the craft, and they would build these homes out in the desert. I worked out in Palm Desert and in those areas, all around those areas. And we were working at this one exclusive place. I forget what they're called, but they were building a house, and you had to buy a lot, and the lots were $1 million a piece, cash. You paid cash for it, and then you had to have $3 million in the bank liquid in order to build that house. And so there was no chance of you not finishing it. And this guy bought this property, and he was building the house, and the foundation had been laid, you know, the walls had been erected, the roof had been put up. You know, they had already started, you know, like mopping it, you know, with tar and everything so that it would be, you know, waterproof. And that's usually when we came in, is when they were doing that. We came in and started framing out the house for the glass. And so as we were framing out the house, I looked up at the ceiling, and we saw that the ceiling was connected in the center, but it was starting to separate. It was starting to pull out. And I asked the contractor when he came in, I said, "Did you guys know that was going on?" And he goes, "Oh yeah, man." He goes, "We're waiting for a beam now. We had to have it re-engineered." He goes, "Because it's on sand, and so it was sifting. And so as they had laid the foundation began to bow because of the weight of the walls and everything else." And he said, "So what we're having to do is we're going to run a huge, this huge, they call them lamb beams. They're beams that were laminated. And this one was like 3 feet tall. It was probably 11 and a half inches wide. And they were going to bolt that roof onto that lamb beam so that it wouldn't come apart anymore, so it wouldn't separate anymore." And I mean, that's what happens when you build on sand. Even if you lay a pad and you're building on sand, if you got so much weight on that, you could end up, you know, that could end up, the house could end up falling, you know, just literally falling down. And so, you know, that's what you have to understand is that, you know, when you're building on sand, you know, the storms come, and it looks, you got it done quick and it looks good, but it can't take any stress. It can't take any pressure. And that's our lives. Our lives are like that. And most of us, we've been building our lives on things that are not built on the foundation of God's truth. You know, we've been building on ideas. We've been building on what the world says. We've been building on what we feel like. And as a result, every time a trial comes, we tend to fall apart. We tend to, everything just breaks down because, you know, we don't have a solid foundation. And so one of the things that wisdom does is it sets out to mark, to prescribe what your foundations should be, so that as you build your life, you're building on solid foundation. All right? What will be the foundation? And that's what God did. It says, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Now, what are the foundations of the earth? You got to understand that, you know, that the earth is actually is not just dirt all the way through. I mean, you go down, you know, I don't know, maybe 50 miles into the earth, maybe more, you're going to hit the mantle. And when you hit the mantle, and then you, on top of that, you have tectonic plates and everything else that are constantly moving. And what happened at the very center, at the mantle, that's harder, but inside of that is the core, which is molten nickel, and that's spinning constantly. And if the heat generates our magnetic field that protects us from the sun, from the, because just recently we had these out, you know, these what do you, I forget what you call them, but electromagnetic waves that just, what do they call?
EMP.
No, it's flares, solar flares. And those flares were going out thousands and thousands and thousands of miles off of the sun. And when they were shooting out these impulses of electromagnetic, not just electromagnetic, but, you know, of all this radiation, you know, gamma rays, all of that stuff. And they were slamming into our electromagnetic field. And it was just recently, it was causing problems with the internet, with the phone network. It was causing all kinds of problems because we were getting bombarded with these gamma rays and X-rays. And so it protects us. But God had to set the foundation of this. How is this going to be founded so that it doesn't collapse in on itself and it doesn't cause such a create, you know, the pressure that's inside that's needed to be there, the heat, the spinning of it, and everything else so that it doesn't affect the rest of the planet. And you need to understand, we're heated by the sun, but there's a certain amount of that heat coming up from the core of the planet that's also keeping the planet warm. God set that foundation. And what is the foundation of our lives that keeps us going? You know, in the ministry, I have some foundational things that I live by. They're the basis of how I live so that I can continue and maintain effective ministry, to teach effectively, to help, hopefully help you guys. And in the process, there are some foundational things that I've had to mark out. These are the things that are prescribed to me. They're the prescription God gave me. One is prayer, the amount of prayer I have to do. The other is, time in the Word. The other is study, and seeking God, and then on top of that, there's other things that I have to do that are foundational, like walking in love, by living by faith, and so on, so that I'm not just a target of the devil to where he can come along and rip me off all the time. If you want to know the truth, one of my foundations is covenant. One of my foundations is walking in love, is the Word. One of my foundations is walking in love. One of my foundations is faith. I mean, those are foundational to my life. Amen. And so when you begin to look at what you're doing, what's the foundation of it? What's going to hold it stable in the process of time so that, when things act upon it, it doesn't cause it to be destroyed. It doesn't hurt it. And specifically in your life, this is something that's going to be part of how you ought to be living your life. And if you don't have that, now's the time to start building it up and get working on it. It's never too late to start improving the quality of our lives, people. Wisdom causes your life to be improved qualitatively as well as quantitatively. But it starts with the qualitative improvement first. And as that takes hold of you, then the quantitative will all of a sudden blossom out and begin to manifest. But it's never too late. I'm 69 and I'm still hungry for wisdom. I'm still hungry to grow. I'm still hungry to improve. And that's the way we got to be. Amen. And so that's number six. Number seven, wisdom becomes skilled. Wisdom becomes skilled. Amen. Now, this goes back to what Jesus, or what God was saying here in wisdom was saying here in verse 30. It says, "Then I was beside him as a master craftsman." I was beside him as a master craftsman. All along he was there with him. You got to understand, wisdom was with God all along. But it's towards the end there, after all of these things got established, God's preparation, drawing the circle, established, strengthened, assigned, marked out the foundations. As wisdom went through all of those with God, wisdom became the master craftsman. And when you look at master craftsman, that's one word. It's the word amon. And it means, in the sense of training, skilled. An architect, Brown Jarvis Briggs, defines it as an artificer. An artificer is somebody who can work metal, or they can work glass, or they can work they can work wood, woodworking. That's a name for that type of person, is an artificer, okay? Master workman, skilled workman. That's how Brown Jarvis Briggs defines that word amon in the Hebrew. What I like about what Strong says here is probably in the sense of training, skilled. And then it goes on to say an architect, and our goal is, wisdom's goal is for us to become so skilled that we become a skilled architect, that we can build, whatever is needed to be built. We know where to start. We know where to go. We know what wisdom requires to get something done. And just by using some of these things that wisdom does, preparing boundaries, establishing, strengthening, assigning, marking out, we can begin to take and put together the plan to accomplish and get it done. All right. And as you go through these processes, you know, where you start utilizing wisdom's preparation or wisdom setting boundaries or wisdom establishing, you know, the wisdom of establishing, the wisdom of strengthening, the wisdom of assigning, the wisdom of marking out. As you go through the process of doing that, your skill level will grow as in wisdom, you know, and that's the thing that our ultimate goal is to become that skilled craftsman, that master craftsman of life, to where we can not only we've got not only our lives being built, you know, our lives being built, but we can help others, you know, with building their lives more effectively, you know, giving them direction, helping, providing hints. Because, you know, not everybody's ready for what we have. Not everybody's always ready for what you even know. Some of you have some great wisdom in some natural areas, but not everybody's even ready for that yet. But yet, as a master craftsman, wisdom can interact with somebody and begin to see where to get them started. You know, what do they need to get started? What's going to help them get started? And that's, you know, not only does God want us to be able to do that for our lives, even though wisdom is predominantly for us, God wants us to become skilled so that we can also help others. You know, that we can do that and help others. And so what I like about wisdom is that wisdom continues training until she becomes a skilled architect. You know, a skilled craftsman. I like architect here because architect is somebody who envisions something and then gets it built. You know, they know how to you know, create the vision of it. You go to an architect, you know, and you have an architect draw plans for a house. And you go in there, they'll sit down with you and they'll have a bunch of plans that you can look at and see what you like and if, you know, if that'll work for you. And if you want to make some changes or you want to start from scratch, they'll sit down with you and they'll listen to you and they'll begin to draw it out, you know, real simply to draw it out to give you an understanding of what it'll look like. And then as you go through the process of getting that done and you come to a place where you're like, this is what I want. You know, and of course, in practice, it doesn't always work that way because sometimes what people thought they wanted when they saw it built, they didn't like it. You know, it didn't work for them. So, you know, there's change orders as a result of that. But, you know, as it goes along, as an architect, you know, wisdom not only can help you begin to see what you are looking to bring to pass, but wisdom will also take a hold of that and get into the very details. You know, get out there and get the engineering. They'll do everything that's needed to build that, to spec it out so that you have exactly what you need. This is what I do first, this is what I do second, this is what I do here, this is what I do over here. You know, this is how this is going to ultimately look. And then, you know, you sit back and you look at your materials that you're going to use, what kind of shells, what kind of counters, what kind of this, what kind of that. You know, you make those decisions as you go along, but at the beginning you can have an idea of what that's going to be. And see, that's where wisdom is powerful. Wisdom can get so skilled that it can help you build your life in a way that's effective. But it's in accordance with God. See, wisdom, the wisdom of God, always works in accordance with God. Because when you come back up here to the very top here, where it talks about wisdom as a master craftsman, we talked about this last week. Look at what he says, verse 30. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight. See, that was between God and wisdom. And wisdom wants to have that with you. But you got to understand, God brought forth wisdom. So wisdom will function in accordance with God. And we have to remember that. The wisdom of this world is vain. God puts to foolishness the wisdom of this world. Amen? God will make it foolish compared to his wisdom. All right? And so as you give yourself to going after that wisdom, then God going after wisdom and how wisdom produces the results, you'll develop that skill. And you always want to continue developing your skills. You never want to stop, you know, because as you grow in wisdom, you know, wisdom begins to interact with you like a person would interact with you. I mean, that's what the Holy Spirit kind of does. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom. You know, the Bible talks about in Ephesians 1, and Paul prays for the church. He says, I pray, you know, that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. A spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You know, wisdom is a spirit. And you got to understand that it's real. I mean, there's more to it than that. When God set forth wisdom, he set forth wisdom as a spiritual thing that acts outside of even him. And when you tag into the spirit of wisdom, wisdom will begin to work with you and to train you and to bring you up and to question you, to challenge you. And that's the reason why you've got to respond to the correction of wisdom, is because wisdom keeps you on track with God while helping you build your life, so that what you're building is glorifying to God and pleasing to him. Not pleasing to you, just pleasing to you, but pleasing to him as well. Most people are building their lives in a way that's pleasing to them without considering what's pleasing to God. Amen. Hopefully, me pulling those things out right now, hopefully that helps you. And certainly as time goes on, we can talk about these things more. You know, I'm barely getting it, guys. I barely saw it like a week ago. You know, I was meditating on it and I began to see that, wait a minute, this is what wisdom does. This is how wisdom acts. You know, and so, you know, it's what it does. It's what it's going after. And this is wisdom in action, people. Amen. Wisdom is always continuously developing its skills. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going to stop here.